I invite you to remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. It comes from the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This story is oh so very human. If you had somehow read the entirety of the Gospel of Matthew up until this point, and somehow missed the point that Jesus had come fully human, you can't avoid it here. Here is Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane. It had already been a week for Jesus. Jesus, who as it seems in the Gospels to be no stranger to exciting and busy weeks, had really outdone himself for this past week. He enters into Jerusalem on a donkey as the people gather around and wave palms and shout, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." It was a highlight of the week, really, from how things had gone from there. Jesus knows that the leaders of the synagogue are not pleased with him, and then he goes and he kicks the money changers out of the temple. He continues to teach, and by the time Thursday rolls around, it just seems like Jesus could feel the tension building. He gathers with his disciples for a Passover meal, a meal that includes foot washing and the sharing of what will become communion, but also the prediction of both a denial and a betrayal. Jesus shares with the disciples a commandment of loving each other as he has loved them, while at the same time knowing they are all going to fail to live that out over the next few days. And so they go, minus Judas, to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus leaves most of the disciples in one part of the garden, but takes Peter and James and John, the ones he is closest with, farther in with him, already telling them in a moment of humanity and vulnerability that he's grieved even to the point of death. He asks them to stay awake and to pray with him. And he goes a little farther into the garden and prays one of the most honest and vulnerable prayers in all the Gospels. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Here is Jesus, human, suffering, conflicted. Here is Jesus, human, confused, crying out to God. Here is Jesus, human, vulnerable, passionate. Here is Jesus, human and praying. He pauses to check on the disciples and finds them sleeping. Disappointed, he asked them again to stay awake. This happens 3 times before the crowd, led by Judas, arrives to arrest him. It's all very human, for sure, but at the same time, as we consider this prayer as one of our prayers of Jesus during Lent, it seems a little difficult to think about what this prayer could teach us about how we pray. After all, unlike some of the other prayers we've looked at this season, where we might find ourselves in a really similar situation, like wanting to retreat alone to be in prayer, needing somebody to teach us how to pray, praying after the loss of somebody close to us, or praying for others and for unity, there might not be a clear comparison of when we would pray like this. And yet, this prayer of Jesus teaches us something very important about prayer. That prayer is first and foremost relational. We don't pray because we think it's something that we should do. We don't pray because we're trying to manipulate or change the situation. We don't pray because we want to look good or impressive as Christians. We pray because it strengthens our relationship with God. Prayer is relational. Prayer is where we share who we are with God. It's a way for us to share honestly and vulnerably our deepest thoughts and feelings and hopes and desires and sufferings with God. And it's through this relationship and sharing that we are transformed, that we're changed as we come to more fully understand the promise that no matter what, God is with us. And the promise that no matter what, God loves us. This prayer that Jesus offers in the garden is not only the most human of all his prayers, it's also the most relational. Nowhere else in the Gospels does Jesus seem more connected with God the Father than here as he moves towards the cross. There's a deep sense of honesty and connection. There's a deep feeling of knowing and being known. There's a full understanding that no matter what happens to Jesus, that whether or not the plans to go to the cross change, that God the Father is going to go with him. This promise of a God who is one of us is one of the promises we can hold on to when we trust that prayer at its core is a relationship between us and God. If God is with Jesus there in the garden, if God is with Jesus in his suffering, in his wavering, in his agony, then God is with us in our suffering, in our wavering, and in our agony. We have a God who in Jesus experienced the full spectrum of what it means to be human. The joys, the excitements, the hardships, and the sufferings. We have a God who in Jesus has gone to the cross and to death so that we will never be abandoned or alone. In prayer, we always have God with us, no matter what. No matter what we're going through, no matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter if we're certain of the promise or completely doubting the promise. God is with us. This relational prayer of Jesus shows us that God is always with us. This relational prayer of Jesus also shows us that God loves us. There's a deep love in the prayer that Jesus prays. It's a prayer offered by somebody who knows that they are loved. For we are only able to be honest and open with those we know will respond with love. And so Jesus is able to be honest and open because he knows that God will respond with love. Jesus prays, "My Father, if it is possible." Jesus can ask this question, "If it is possible," because he has the promise that God will always respond with love. And we can offer that same honest prayer, "Father, if it is possible," because we have the same promise that God will always respond with love. And we can live with strength and hope after we pray these prayers, because we have the promise that God will always continue to love us. This Lent, I've been leading a small group here on Wednesday nights that's been reading a book called The Importance of Being Foolish by Brennan Manning. Several of you are in this group with me. It's a book about how we are called to live like Jesus, turning away from the very human quest for security and pleasure and power, and instead finding the promise of love and presence from Jesus, and allowing Jesus to transform our life. It's been a great group for discussion and learning together. Many of you will not be surprised to know I love a small group where I don't really have to talk, and that has been this group. They have shared in great discussion, and it's a group where I feel like I leave each week learning more than I came prepared to share. We've been challenged together, and we have also read some important words that reflect this relational promise in the scripture of God's presence and God's love. In one chapter, Brennan Manning, the author, shares what he titles The Parable of the Medicine Man. It's a beautiful story about a boy named Willie growing up in a poor Mexican town. Willie is an outcast. His race is different than that of most of the village, and he has blotches of different skin tone. He suffered from polio and lives with a bad leg and a limp. One day, a festival comes to town, and Willie enters the tent of the great medicine show. And he meets the medicine man, who Willie immediately recognizes as a Christ figure. The medicine man offers Willie an orange liquid and instructs him to rub 3 drops on his heart each night. And more than that, the medicine man offers Willie friendship and love and belonging. They spend time together, and the medicine man invites him to share a meal together, and Willie says that no one outside of his parents had ever invited him to share a meal until the medicine man. And the medicine man promises to be Willie's friend, no matter what, and to love him. I want to share with you the end of the story. Manning writes, "Willie listened attentively. 'That's so beautiful, Senor,' he said, shaking his head. 'But I'm afraid I could never be a friend like that. I'm too weak, too ugly, too moody, too dumb.' 'That's why I gave you my special elixir, little brother,' the medicine man says. 'Be sure to rub the 3 drops on your heart each night. The 1st drop is called forgiveness, the 2nd acceptance, and the 3rd is joy. Do that and know that you are blessed.' Then he smiled his warmest smile and departed. Willie ran, skipped, jumped, and danced all the way home. When he arrived, he went to his room, closed the door, and knelt down beside his bed. He opened the bottle and began to rub in the 1st drop, forgiveness of others, on his heart. It was very painful because the other children had hurt him deeply. But soon a wondrous thing happened. Willie had been so open to the medicine man's friendship that the drops of orange liquid didn't rest on his heart. They actually entered into his heart. What normally took years for the spirit of the medicine man to accomplish in this ordinary heart took place in Willie's open, childlike, transparent heart in an instant. All anxiety about his leg, blotches, everything vanished. And Willie began to pray out loud. 'O Senor El Shaddai, my friend, do not leave me. You may ask anything of me. All I want is you. Just walk beside me with your hand in my hand for friendship's sake and for the joy of being together. Even if you were teasing me about healing my leg and my blotches, I don't care. I'd be so happy to be speckled trout if only you would stay with me. I remember the one thing that you said that mattered most. I love you, my friend. So anything you want, Senor, only don't ever leave me, and don't ever let me leave you.' You see, after the spirit of the medicine man had entered Willie's heart, it coursed through his whole being and opened his eyes to realize how empty life would be without his friend. That thought so staggered his mind and appalled his heart that Willie would never again be the same. But it also opened his eyes to see that in the depths of his heart, he really had but one burning desire. Not for the things the medicine man had promised, but for the medicine man himself. That parable of Willie and the medicine man shows us what happens in relational prayer. Willie is changed because he is open to allowing the medicine man to change him. His desire then becomes for the medicine man himself. His desire is for more of the medicine man's presence and love to be at work in his life. That's the scripture of Jesus praying in the garden also shows us what happens in relational prayer. Jesus, in his prayer, is open to the work of God. His desire is for God the Father himself. His desire is for more of the Father's presence and love to be at work in his life. And so as we journey to the cross this week, might we too know what happens in relational prayer. Might we be changed because we are open to allowing Jesus to change us. Might our desire become for Christ himself. Might our desire be for more of Christ's presence and love to be at work in our lives. Let us pray. Loving God, might we be people who come to you openly in prayer. Might we be people who come to you in prayer, seeking to be in relationship with you. Because, Lord, we know that in prayer, we receive the promise that no matter what, you are present with us. And no matter what, you love us. Might we live into these prayers, these hopes, as we seek more and more of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.